Song.
Your song. I just did a manual countdown. We're stood in a street just off Tottenham Court Road. With your technology, freaky foof.
Hello,
Andre. How you doing?
Good, great.
You can probably
amazing.
You can probably tell where we are faster than I can because I can't see a sign. But yes, we've just been to.
Let's have a listen.
Where are we?
Something Media.
Mind's Eye Media.
Mind's Eye Media.
That's right, we are. I've now seen that sign. So we're standing outside Mind's Eye Media and Billion Dollar Boy, which I have no idea what these places do. But they sound like funky design studios just off Tottenham Court Road. I was here to pick up some technology, and I pinged you and said, let's grab lunch.
Yeah, and I said to my wife, I'm out for lunch. She's like, are you? Really? Right now? Okay, see you then.
She's probably got a lovely, amazing dinner that you're going to have to eat when you get back.
Suits me.
Two meals. We just had a bucket of noodle soup each.
Oh, so good. I don't, as a rule, like noodle soup. I love noodles and I like soup, but I've never had the combination, not in years anyway. And this was really, really good. Seafood and squid and happy things and
How long have we known each other in the virtual world?
I want to say 3 to 4 years, I want to say.
Yeah, I think you're probably about right. So this is the first time we actually got a chance to catch up in meat space.
Meat space, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. We've been talking a lot about our own perceptions of meat space as well, because it's quite invigorating to learn about your uses of technology compared to mine. There are lots of crossovers, of course.
A lot of crossovers. I mean, we use the same devices on a daily basis, even sometimes down to the recorders that we both use, the phones. Except you don't seem to have a cane. I'll get you one.
I did used to have a sword stick.
Oh, wow.
Which was also an umbrella.
I'm going to have to rename you Lucius Malfoy now.
But I think they're not very legal to carry around now.
I wouldn't say they are, no.
Now, if the cane could double as a Wi-Fi antenna booster battery stroke lightsaber, I'm in.
That would be very cool. Oh, yes, the type of spare battery that we all carry around as well. There are two things I would never leave the house with, or never not leave the house with, I guess is the terminology. I wouldn't not leave the house with my phone or a battery.
You've got me thinking now about cane technology. I've never ever really thought about these fold-up devices. What's it made of?
This is possibly graphite. There used to be aluminium or aluminium for American listeners back in the day, but this is graphite. It's quite light, I think. Feel that. Carbon.
Ooh, it is. It's weighted frame. At the bottom, though. It's carbon fibre.
Yeah, carbon fibre.
And it's 135 centimetres long.
That's it.
It says on the side.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And it folds into 5 pieces. There used to be 4 piece, and then it was quite long to go in a bag, but I can just about get this in my man bag now, if I try hard.
And you're wearing a front-worn man bag, and some interesting sounds around here on doors.
Quite a few.
Whether or not our lo-fi phone mic will pick them up, I don't
know. It
should.
I reckon so.
Speaking of lo-fi mics, you have the opposite attached to your lapels, wearing a pair of
Sound Professional Goldmaster BMC -3 microphones attached to a police car that's coming up the road, might not be one.
And if you are listening to the recording from Andre's binaurals, you will probably even will it gauge that it's behind you?
It sometimes does. It depends on what I'm wearing.
Yes.
But these people passing me on the right-hand side as I face up the road at this juncture will come from behind to in front.
It's absolutely phenomenal when I listen, and you can actually, you do get a soundscape, you do get kind of a mind's eye interpretation of what's going on around you. It's making me feel a little bit guilty about my recent microphone purchase that I'm excited about for interviews, and you may be able to set me straight.
Go on.
On it. So I've got the Zoom H5, the more compact version of the kind of H6, although I've heard
it's new, isn't it?
It is very new. It's in my bag. I'll show you before I do a runner. And the I've just bought the shotgun mic, which is a short mic that attaches to the top. Now, a lot of people, when they're doing audio interviews, they will have their belt-mounted or bag-mounted audio recorder, then a cable, then a Rode shotgun mic.
Yes.
NG2, whatever it is. And then that's how they do stuff, with a decent pair of headphones. Now, I don't like the dangly cables, where if I can help it, it's bad enough having headphones plugged in. So I've got the Zoom with a shotgun mic mounted directly onto the top of it, which is mono, isn't it?
Yes, it will be. I don't know, actually. The shotgun might not be. Without checking specs, we wouldn't be able to tell. But I assume for interview purposes, it's going to be mono.
And that means that I am...
Double stereo. You're going to have to sum the files to save space anyway.
Yeah, it is actually... I know it records on two channels, but it seems to be recording the same thing.
Yeah, sum it. Not only will you save space, but then when you FLAC it, you'll save even more space.
Ooh, I need to learn about converting to FLAC for my archives.
I will show you.
So am I missing out a lot on when it comes to... I guess you need to focus on the voice, but I do like a bit of ambient noise. So I put my XYs on if I want the street.
Yes, that's a very noisy device.
What is?
That thingy behind us to the left down the road.
Yeah, I think it was...
building work,
I don't even know. No, I think it was a cage on the back of a lorry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's so for me, the sacrificing of the XY just picks up so much background.
Yeah, it can be too much.
Yeah.
It can be detracting from what you're trying to get across, but the shotgun mic will have its purpose.
And it also means that I can pass the microphone between two people without getting right in their face.
Hello?
Yeah,
exactly. I always find that quite... it's very reporter-esque, isn't it?
It is, it is. So I'll have to see. I have to see how I get on with it. But I'm very, very nearly, and you might lambast me for this, I very nearly purchased a Super Softie. Have you seen them?
No.
Okay. So this is a wind sock brake thing from Rycote, which it's like buying a Porsche. And normally they're very fluffy, like a dead cat. This particular one is kind of honeycombed inside, and it has a soft outer casing, which probably is why they justify £100 for the price. But they say that it's because it's aerodynamic, you're getting even less wind noise.
Wow.
So they're saying it's the next generation wind noise. But it's like carrying around a small pillow in your bag, and I'm trying to minimise kit.
Yeah, that's the thing. Some of that stuff can be also very heavy, because some of it contains metal for stability and... Oh, dear.
This one doesn't, know. The structure itself is the structure, should I say.
It's a fluff muffin.
It is. It's really not very fluffy. Maybe before we go, I'll introduce you to it, because I need to show you Ask and the wonderful people who work in that shop anyway.
Ah, yes.
What were we chatting about a minute ago?
Chocolate.
After that?
Things.
Just before this?
Ladders. No.
No.
Well, there's a cool doorbell on this place.
Flax.
Flax. Yes, the flaxen hair of flax.
So how to compress?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to do it. A command line is the easiest way, but I made a sort of vaguely cheap skate interface whereby you right-click on the file or files and choose send to, and then you choose send to flac to wave, wave to flac, rather. And if you want to go the other way, you just go the other way.
So that's like a Mac action?
Kind of, yeah. Kind of like that.
Oh,
I need to actually design the same script for Mac. I haven't done it yet. Could I have a Mac? I really ought to get on that. Lazy.
Do it and send it.
I will. Speak to my IT guy.
So will a Mac convert WAV to FLAC in-house?
It can do it. You put stuff in places and it does it.
Okay.
Same as Windows.
Yeah.
I drop my EXEs, for example, in System 32. And then I just... Because that's in the path then. And it just does what it's supposed to.
What do you find easier to get around, Windows or Mac?
Because I've used Windows for 16-something years, Windows at the moment. Yeah. But Mac isn't bad. I just need more time with it. I got my Mac only in April this year.
Oh, wow.
By April next year, I'm sure I'll be much better at it. I'm just learning new stuff every day. Like with Windows, there's a lot less to learn because I know most of it. But Mac, someone's always telling me, oh, you can do this to achieve that. And I really like that. The learning is just wonderful, I think.
You've got a massive back catalogue of sounds, not just the free ones that you, let's quickly plug, you give out online for people to use on the URL.
Tracks or sounds? Because I haven't got a URL for sounds.
Tracks.
It's onj.me/freakywooftracks.
Yes.
Which can spell out in the show notes because you're nice like that.
I have been... enjoying and using and utilising for some different things, definitely. When it comes to archiving all of your sounds, what do you use? Is there a particular app?
No, I just flack a lot of them, and then I dump them onto a network drive in an old server across the house, and just I pull them off when I need them.
And give them long names, or how do you know what's in what? Because I'm struggling.
Track-wise, I just sort of... track titles are strange things to me. My dad told me this as a child. I made him a tape one day of drum machine noises that I had made off of this thing when I was younger, and I gave each one a title. Couldn't tell you half of them. I do remember one was called The Spider in the Bath, but I have no idea why. So I just sort of come up with titles off the top of my head, or I ask my wife for something random she might see on TV. And so track titles appear as is.
Yeah, makes sense. It's a weird one. And because there's some of the tracks that you have, the titles, I'm wondering, what were you on when you came up
with
this?
I often ask myself that. But for the Shorts project, which is sort of a subsection of what you would see in Freaky Fourth Tracks, which has its own URL of Freaky Fourth Shorts, zip, all one word, not .zip. Those, I tried to come up with things that I think you would expect someone to be saying when you hear that sound. So for, I can't think of anything. It's ridiculous. Oh, they're after you, for example. That's the last one in the list. They're after you might be sort of that, horror movie type thing.
I was drawn straight to that. I've actually put them in folders, some of them. I've gone through hundreds. and I've been very, very ruthless and binned all the ones that
you won't
that I might not use. But then I went back into the bin and took them out because I thought, well, hang on a second. These ones, which are uber cheesy, I've put in a folder called cheesy. When I say cheesy, it's like that.
No, almost they're like, meant to be. Some are meant to be.
Yeah, it's almost like, welcome to Johnson's Cinema. Oh,
precisely. Yeah.
And there may be a use. I may have to do some of that, and I will be very, very thankful for having those tracks. Then I've got funky, I've got chilled, I've got dramatic. I've dropped them in those folders so that I can go straight to it. But it's the darker stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I've got a folder called dark. Yes. That's the stuff of yours I really like. It's kind of, and also when you play around with guitar sounds, because of the way you play guitar on a keyboard, it has a kind of a new, unique feel to it.
Right. I shall remember that. See, I like to take these things on board as a client, even if an unpaid client, still a client. Yeah. I will listen to constructive feedback and then try to tailor music around that.
Ah, interesting. So I will send you a list of file names of the ones that kind of really struck
me. You should,
me
actually.
As,
it'll be very helpful.
Yeah.
Because then I know what to do in future. I did 100 of these, by the way, people, and you will find that in the folder there's 284 files, because some of them have variations.
Yes, and that's really good, because having 5-second, 10-second, 30-second, 45-second versions of the same, or sometimes I've not necessarily been taken by the 30-second, and then there's a 20-second where you've pulled the keyboard out,
yep,
or you've dropped in a heavier beat, and I'm like, whoa, that's what I was looking for.
That's it. A lot of minus ones, minus twos, and that's the whole point, you see. I wanted to try and cater to everybody. And the more that you have, the more you can cater to everybody. If you only have one or two tracks, you'll hardly cater to anybody.
So, on SoundCloud, can't you upload all of these and have a little buy now for 50p button?
I don't know how you do that with SoundCloud.
I've noticed that on a pro account, when you upload, you can literally... there's a space where it says, you know... put in your buy it now link or something.
Oh yeah, the buy now link. That just go. What I do for those when I have those is I fill it out and it goes to iTunes page.
Ah, okay.
And people can go straight to that track in general.
Ah, that might be what it is. It's not actually purchasing through SoundCloud.
Sadly not.
Well, that's interesting, because that would be a good business model for them to take a couple of pennies per sale.
Yes.
Oh, great stuff. Crash. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people coming and going. It is lunchtime. I'm thinking that either that design studio really does not do much work. That's a very large plane flying over our head. But take the village boy out of the village and drop him in the city. I don't know how you manage. I'm freaked out in cities.
I love them. I like noise around me, I guess. Silence just makes you think too much about sad things.
Yeah?
Sometimes.
God, this could take a totally different direction, this audio now.
I know, right?
Yeah. So, are there times, you know, where when you are in the countryside or completely... Well, you're never completely devoid of sound.
Not these days.
No.
I do like the country, don't get me wrong, because all the people are different. I find a lot of the time that they can be sometimes friendlier, although people in train stations in London tend to be not too unfriendly, especially when I'm looking for a train and I can't find it. But as a rule, on the street, if you ask somebody for directions, they kind of give you this look like, who the actual hell are you and why are you bothering me? In the country, outside, I used to live in Worcester, which is not necessarily country, but country-ish for me. I used to find people were very helpful and would help you cross the road even if you didn't necessarily need it. And, you know, not to say that doesn't happen here, but it's a lot less because people have a lot less time to talk to you because they're busy doing their own thing.
I've noticed I stepped off a train the other day, and next to a guy with a stick. I imagine he's visually impaired, or he just liked carrying a stick. I don't know. I was walking along the side of him, and it suddenly dawned on me that I was wearing almost soleless shoes called Viva Barefoots. Right. And you can kind of feel every element of the world around you without it's like shoeboxes on your feet.
Yes.
But the knobbles that go down by the train track, I suddenly realised that that is an assisted aid.
That's what it's for.
So that you can tell where the edge of the platform is.
That's right.
Which is really handy.
It's very handy.
And as I was walking, because I just thought, wow, this is really nice and massagey.
Yes, what's it for?
What a lovely pattern. And then I kind of guessed, oh, here we go. So it is.
They have them actually now outside of cash machines as well. Well, at least the Barclays in Ladbroke Grove does. I don't know if every bank does.
Interesting. Now, that's something I haven't noticed. But I do notice headphone sockets in cash machines.
Yes, because they now talk. Barclays are, they were the first bank, and everybody sort of had to follow suit very quickly. November the year before last, I think now, they had installed 3,000 cash machines across the UK that talked. So I can now go to a Barclays cash machine as a Barclays customer, or not being one, but I am anyway, and get money out independently. Before that, you would have had to ask for help. No choice, had to.
Yeah.
Or go in branch and have someone help you in staff, you know, but you've got a queue for that. So it was never necessarily a nice thing for independent people.
Does having a device that gives you so much more information, especially relevant to where you're standing right now, does that make you less sociable because you are asking people less?
No, because you would just read a sign and then before ask anybody anything. It's the same as me reading a sign that you'd read without reading the sign.
Fair point, yeah.
You see?
Yeah, totally get it, yeah. But I once commented that when Apple Maps came out,
yeah,
it was the single most sociable app I'd ever found because it didn't work and I had to ask everybody for directions.
Yeah, you see, I think that was a ploy to get people talking. It made them buy iPhones to see, ooh, Apple Maps, and it didn't work. Is it going to be any better than Google Maps because it's Apple? And all the Apple fanboys got it and then they hated it. Yeah. But they didn't go to Android after having had it. They just stayed with it and said, oh, it'll get better. And in time it did. It's actually quite reasonable now. It's a lot better than it used to be because they had to fix it. So I have not used it for a while, but I've heard from more than just, you know...
It's better.
One or two, yeah. It's supposed to be a whole lot better now.
So why are you're recently Apple switching from Windows, but have you ever been Android?
I haven't, no. I haven't felt the need to. I haven't felt the need to go down the road of, will this might work possibly yesterday, but not today, because the device I had didn't change, but I think it did. Yeah. I'm not into all that.
Yeah.
It's too much work, man.
I imagine that, like me as well, if Apple says, we're sorry, but the phone is twice as fat because we want it to last a whole day on one battery, you'd go, where do I sign?
Yeah, I would sign. As much as I love carrying my Anker, which I do, I carry it for my Olympus LS 100, if nothing else, or for people when I'm in restaurants to be sociable, because I believe in good karma. If you didn't have a battery, I'd have offered you my battery.
Yes, I must admit, I've got the Anker.
Forget Rolos, mate. It's batteries. It's what counts.
I've got the 3 output on my Anker with this kind of shake to activate weird thing. And I always have spare leads, mostly micro USB.
I carry mini micro and lightning in my bag all the time. Yeah. In my laptop bag, there is also mini micro and lightning all the time.
And I've been on a train and you can hear somebody go, I've only got like a couple of seconds left. Can you meet me at the... And then I'm like, can I help you with that?
Yes. I've been on trains and I hear, you know, someone with a non-English accent, you know, particularly American or Eastern European, whatever. And the first thing I'll offer them is not only battery, but tethering. Because I have 10 gig and I just feel that, you know,
you've
if
got
I'm
10 gig
somewhere.
On your Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Or on your phone?
On the phone.
Oh, wow.
The first thing I feel like is if I'm in another country and I do want to contact family, if I have no access to Wi-Fi, and trains are stingy in this bloody country, I would offer you tethering. Because I just think, like,
you
karma.
Would be like
what comes around goes around.
Exactly, and it comes back. It's got to come back tenfold. Oh, if I was that traveller, and then you just happen to lean over and go, "Can I give you wireless internet access? I want to kiss you."
That's
it's
it.
Just crazy amount of. Oh, it's exactly what I need. Because otherwise, you're waiting until the hostel.
Yeah.
Or you're waiting to the hotel,
and you're waiting between the stations. Because oh, look, this station has Wi-Fi, and you're only here for 3 minutes. Changeover.
And there are still hotels that go, oh yes, you can have internet access, it's only $9.99 a day. I'm like, come on,
get
what
out of
century
my face
is this?
I know. It's actually ridiculous. I
Plus,
remember being
it's
in a
very
hotel.
Rare. I mean, there's a lot of scams as well in hotel Wi-Fi where you're getting all your data scraped if you're not using a VPN. It's happening more at the moment.
I saw an article on I think The Verge yesterday, or Lifehacker, that a spy group was doing exactly what you just said in hotels. And of course, a lot of hotels have conferences and major meetings, yeah. corporate people, lunches.
Is that the article saying that they're actually singling out individuals as well, and it might be Chinese government involved?
Yes, I think it was.
Yeah,
I saw that. Freaked me out.
Yeah, because you just trust open Wi-Fi.
Sadly.
Do you have an app that tells you what's open and what's not?
The phone does. I don't think Apple allows such things, because I don't think they allow apps to scan Wi-Fi in that way. But just going into settings and seeing if it says secure next to it or not is good enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I must admit, since I've had a MiFi and then dropped, I think I pay £7, £8 a month for 5 gigabytes on a MiFi that I can connect 10 devices to.
That's brilliant.
It's just as a kind of backup. But I find that in London, it's the only time I really struggle with 3.
Yes.
Whereas everywhere else in the country, it's bristlingly fast and always connected. It's just oversubscribed.
Does it connect to 4G or 3G or what?
4G. I've got 4G at the moment here.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty
good. Does it use the EE's network?
I guess it must do. I'm not sure, but I know that they're upgrading everybody to 4G where relevant for extra cost, which makes sense to me.
It does.
It's like
4G
saying,
is so cool.
It's like, because it is a utility in my mind, and it's like you don't upgrade your water and go, oh, you're still on dirty water. Would you like to pay to have cleaner water? It just doesn't make any sense.
I was talking about this a few months ago on Audioboo and in life. I think that internet in 1997 was like, oh, you're one of them. Now, it's a utility. It's a household bill. You can use it as proof of address.
And
there was a time you could not do that. That's amazing to me.
And did you see the news about Obama today?
Net neutrality.
Yeah, he's kind of... I mean, let's see how far this goes. But because the lobbyists and the cable companies are really angry. And if you look at how backward the United States is, I'm sorry, but I've visited a number of times, and I am absolutely shocked at not only the kind of internet packages you have. When I was looking at moving there recently, and I was checking out what was on offer, you've got... It's like the states are owned by the cable companies.
They are.
And they are holding back internet access like you wouldn't believe. The company is going to be... The company of America. The country...
Basically.
Freudian... The country of the United States is going to be so much better off if net neutrality is protected. The fact that everybody has equal and decent access, and you don't let people clamp it down.
I know that we used to complain about our net in the UK, but I think we've come up in the world rankings quite a bit with the introduction of BT Infinity and Virgin Media, TalkTalk Fibre and all that sort of thing. I think we, as a nation, are really... Every home has increased in net speed over the last even 5 years. When I moved to not the place I am now, but the place before that in 2005, I was lucky on a 16 meg plan, DSL, to get 6 meg.
Yeah.
More like 4.5.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sitting on 152 by 12, and if I don't get it, I'm bitching.
Wow. Yeah, well, you city dwellers, you're so lucky. I think when I went from 1 meg, leapt up to 30 or 40, it was like a whole new world.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so I'm happy and contented.
No,
and
I had that, though. I did. When I left that same plan, I was on Virgin. I switched from DSL to Virgin. I went from the same 5 or 6, so it should have been 16. I was been paying for 16 for years. Could never get it, because it just wouldn't sync at it, at 50. That was my first introduction.
Did you just get that unusual aroma then?
I did.
What was it?
I have no
idea. Definitely wasn't me.
It was not to do with me.
I can't wait.
Passing person.
I can't wait for when we do get smells across the internet. And I know that there are some devices where you... I've seen a USB-powered scent creating device where you can plug 4 different base scents in, and it will customise the scent so that you can sit it on top of the television, and if someone's in a forest, you get pine.
I think that would be really cool to own.
But I would love to be able to just click the side of my phone, capture that aroma, and squirt it straight into your head stroke nose phones.
Oh yes, have some fartio boom.
I think that's what it was. Smells. It's the city for me. It's the only time I ever smell cigarette smoke, because everybody lines the streets because they're not allowed in buildings.
Nope.
But in the villages, I don't know, either people just don't smoke or they're like, ah, we'll just do it in our house.
That's right. Do it in the house, mate.
Yes.
Don't do it in the house.
Oh, so what projects have you got coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Oh, gosh, I'm off to Manchester to work for the BBC for a day on Friday. I've got the same thing again on Wednesday, but this time in London at the Media Cafe, I think. I've got a gig in Wales on the 28th of November. I'm flying to Estonia on the 26th of December for my Christmas holiday to myself. It's great. I'm really busy, and I haven't been this busy, and I don't even know how many months. Maybe not even a year.
Well, you were in Estonia not so long ago. You got some friends there.
Yep. Good old friend, Jakob Rosin. I'm staying again at his place. I was there last New Year, and I'll be there again this New Year.
What's the attraction with Estonia, other than friends there?
Nice people. You should go.
Yeah.
I think you would be genuinely shocked at just how nice it is there. Well, it's genuinely nice.
Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, it was on
Finland
my list.
As well.
Yeah. Finland,
they're
haven't
just a ship
been.
Away.
Oh, hang on, this I have, Helsinki.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Norway I haven't been.
I've only ever been to Estonia and Holland. I've been to. I went out there for the European Rifle Shooting Championships in the 90s. Long time ago that was.
Well, I'm always looking forward to your audio. And let's take a stroll over to the audio den of iniquity that is Ask before we have to part
Leggett.
Company. I've got to get across town to meet...
Where are you going to?
I'm going to meet Deanna Roger, and I'm going over with another friend. She's a spoken word poet. I did a YouTube video recently with her poetry. Absolutely. Look, there's a Soho Wine Supplies on our right has a display of Ardbeg whiskey. Are you a whiskey drinker?
My granddad certainly is.
Oh, yeah.
I do love wine. I'm not a beer drinker.
You're
in the
a wine.
But I do like wine a great, great deal.
Just
I'm
took you
lie.
Up on a weird step, which I didn't even see. Well, did you hear any of my audio from the Wine Communicators Conference?
I'm going to check that out.
I've just been... I'm not sure how much I recorded, actually, but I have just been to Switzerland for the...
Beautiful smells, though.
Oh, it's, yeah, what was that?
Lady.
Yeah, it was very, very... You know, softer perfume than the normal eye-watery kind.
You know, there are some times when re-smells, you know, somebody will pass you, and you will just stop and go, I could do it a bit of that. It just... It comes out of your mind.
Wow. Yeah, I have once stopped somebody and asked what they're wearing.
It's not always about looks.
It's about smells.
What you do with it.
Right then, we are very close to Ask on Tottenham Court Road, and I'm going to give them another plug. Yeah, it's interesting. In the collateral damage that is the smells of humankind in a city.
Yep.
Some really do stand out. For some nice ones, yes. Because obviously, when you're on the tube, you get a lot of the other stuff.
Yes, unfortunately.
Anyway, it's been really awesome to catch up with you.
I thank you kindly.
And if we get a chance to do this again, that'd be great.
I agree.
And I'm going to pick your brains in here, because there is an awful lot of audio gear, and you really do know your stuff when it comes to microphone specs and things.
Oh, then let's make an effort to do something fun with it.
Yeah, definitely.
You might even leave with something.
Whoa,
don't
make me spend. Don't make me spend.
It's really bad, because every time I come down here, I tend to leave with something I didn't necessarily know I wanted or needed. And it really hurts. My wife gives me that disappointed look, and I know it's coming.
Have you got hands-on with the Zoom H5?
No.
Oh, I'll have to show you my setup.
Yes.
Right then. I'm going to say, if anybody's listened for...
All of it.
What's that? Nearly 30 minutes.
That long?
Yeah.
Wow, time did not fly.
29 minutes or so. Then congratulations.
Bang on 30.
What's your... where can people find you on the interwebs?
On Twitter, ONJ Music or FreakyFoolf. And at AndreLouis.com.
Of course, you have been listening to Documentally... Documentally in all good internet spaces. Thank you very much. I will leave you with a few seconds of Tottenham Court Road. I'm not going to make 30 minutes. It's nearly 29.
Oh, wow. Okay, very well.